Welcome to A Course in Miracles. So you remember this part that we're working through is one of the study tool or the toolbox items that we have. In other words, page 448 with the italics, this is someplace you go when you want to get back into A Course in Miracles, when you want to get your head straight, when you need to have your bell rung. You want to, these italics, and I'll read them for you now. They say, this is page 448 in the text. Mm-hmm. It says, I am responsible for what I see. I choose the feelings I experience, and I decide upon the goal I would achieve. And everything that seems to happen to me, I ask for and receive as I have asked.
So I have a story about that I wanted to talk about with you privately, but I'm wondering if I could do it here.
If you think it'll benefit the group.
I haven't been talking to my brother, one of my brothers, in 5 years. Mm-hmm. And a couple of years ago, I wrote a letter thanking him for everything he had ever did for me, and he didn't respond. And then,
hey, Luann, so on this, let me have you tell us whether you should tell the group. If it's something that's specific to you or your situation, let's go into that later. If it's something that applies to A Course in Miracles principles, in other words, a general description of applying ACIM, I'd love
to. No, it applies to this paragraph we just read,
All right.
Okay, so I'll be finished with this part quickly. Mm. Well, anyway, so I'll get to it now. So he wrote me a long, long text a week or so ago. And it's all about what he's doing now and how his life is going. And he sounds like he's doing really, really well. And it was like a 3 or 4 page text. And when I got through, I thought, wow. That was certainly an expose of everything that's been going on with him for the last 3 years at least, and having a good time. And then I wrote my therapist and wrote, because he's been involved with this for 5 years, he wrote back, he said, how wonderful for you, and you deserve it. And at first I felt so good. And then within a minute, I said, but I don't deserve it. And I felt terrible. And then I remembered this paragraph, and I thought, okay, what's my goal? My goal is what about this, and how do I get to it?
That's our lesson tonight, and for the last week, 2 weeks, and the next few weeks to come, is the responsibility for sight. Now, what we're talking about is you would take responsibility as you did. You take responsibility for how you feel, for what you see, for what you think, for what you remember. This is what we're going to work through over the next couple of weeks. Tonight, we're going to do sight. We're going to take one on that is a immediate things pop into your vision in this level where you find yourself living as a human in a body. Your eyes. Things happen in your vision, and it gets your attention immediately, and it starts to prove it's to you that what you see is real with your eyeballs, okay? That's what we're going to focus on tonight, just to try to bust the ego in a very particular way. So, yes, Luann, you were responsible for the judgments you made on your brother and on yourself reading what your brother sent. You bet. You bet. Then you will live it. Whatever you decide that letter means, or you decide your behavior to your brother means, key word now, means.
It wasn't
whatever you decide it means will dictate your experience.
It wasn't so much my brother's letter. I thought it was wonderful.
Yep.
And it made me feel really good. It was, how come I couldn't say, allow my therapist to say, and you deserve it, and leave that alone, and just take that in and feel good about it.
Yeah, because your ego would like to weigh in on your value. Your value. How worthy are you that your estranged, half-estranged brother would write you a 3-page letter? Your ego would like to get right in the middle of that communication and block it.
Which it did.
it's its job. That is the ego's job, is to block the awareness of love's presence in all its forms, in all its invitations.
So what I realize is I'm responsible for going back to just taking what I read from him, what I read from my therapist, and letting it be as it is, enjoying it as much as I want to enjoy it.
That would be an extra step. And we can talk about this when I talk to you in person.
Okay.
You can do it that way. That's reasonable. It's possibly an ego trap. There is a more direct way.
Well, I want the more direct way.
Well, I hope so.
Okay, I just thought that would be, I didn't realize we were going to do sight and then, you know.
Yeah, but we'll use your story anyway. It's always handy. And I love it when any of you speak up and tell me something that's going on with your life tonight, today. We can use it. A Course in Miracles can use it. And I love it. So, Luann, I encourage you every time to bring in real stories you're working with. And I'll use them. You know, Holy Spirit will use them. And together we will. We'll teach and learn with it.
Okay.
Jacqueline.
I just wanted, I've been noticing that the last sentence says, and everything that seems to happen to me. So it's saying this, and yet these things don't really happen to us. I mean, they're not real. I mean, I guess that's what it's saying. This is the illusion, right?
Well, I'm glad you're guessing that's what it's saying. That is, the Course is inviting you. I love Julie's background. See how it's out of focus? Is that on purpose, Julie?
It's a new feature in Zoom. So instead of choosing a background, you can choose blurred, and it blurs your actual background.
I like it. Yeah. Of course, when you've got a living room like this, why would you ever blur it, right?
And what hotel are you in?
But that last sentence, you bet. Remember, I was talking to you about this particular paragraph, this particular page, this particular sentence section has multiple levels of teaching. You will come back to it year after year as you awaken, and you will be able to see something and take in the teaching to a new level each time. And it's sentences like that that'll stop you and make you think, wait a minute. You could look right over that the first time through, because all you're doing is you're working with your feelings. Maybe the first time through, you're crying, you're angry, you're upset, and you look at this and it just feels good. That Course in Miracles is advising you that you don't have to be a victim. Your feelings, you are giving your feelings to you. Mm-hmm. If you're not ready for that, you're not ready for A Course in Miracles. But if you get this far, you're ready for that. In fact, it's nice to have it put right in your face. I'm responsible for how I feel and what I see and what I think. You know, that's a break. Because blaming other people just doesn't get you anywhere. But this gives you hope that if you're responsible for bringing it up, you can also give it up. You know, so first time through, that may be the level that you read it. And that may be the level that helps you tremendously. But then a few times later, you're going to see what you pointed out. And everything that seems to happen to me, what? How much attention should I give seems to happen? What do you got, Sundari?
What level is that one?
Right.
Well, just right before group tonight, I looked at, you know, the title, The Responsibility for Sight, and then I took this little walk, and then I just got this big hit on it. It's so funny, because the whole of COVID, the dichotomy of my attack thoughts making me feel unsafe has gotten like bigger and bigger and manifesting back at me in live people who scream and yell, and fuck you and die. And so there's been this split between a really strong knowing that it's me creating that and the literal experience of the world just attacking me so wildly that I, you know, beyond belief, lawsuits and this and die. And so all during COVID, my vision has gotten really bad in one eye. So it's like my right eye is 20/20. My left eye during COVID sheltering now has gotten to the point where I can't read license plates, can't see street signs. And it's a minor thing to fix it. And I'd been trying for the last 3 weeks to make an appointment at UCSF to fix it. Just today, I made that appointment, finally, after all these. And all of a sudden, walking right before the meeting, because I feel in myself, I'm so ready to release this. And there'll be a minor laser procedure and I'll go back to 20/20 in both eyes. It is so funny. It's such a
coincidence.
So, well, I think that, you know, we're so responsible for the way that we see that all the little body things are really just manifestations of perceptual spaces because the body isn't real. It's neutral.
And then when you have a perceptual space, this seems to feed back to you where you are. And if you happen to glimpse a mirror, it will try to tell you what you are. You wave and it waves back. Ha! I'm a human. You know, so this is the ego working as it was designed, programmed. It's not a sin. There's no problem. But you must bust it. You must raise your awareness to what. And tonight we're going to work on what you see. You must raise your awareness about what you see. We're literally taking responsibility a little bit tonight. We're going to start with what you see. I mean, literally. Because you're seeing all the time. You're relying innocently on your vision to live your life, guide your way. But what, and you'll remember this from those workbook lessons, the first workbook lessons, you know, I give everything I see, all the meaning it has for me. It has you look around the room with your eyeballs and it has you glance at things and let your vision rest for a moment on things. And it says, don't specifically look at anything too long and don't specifically look away from it. It's going exactly at this little aspect that we're starting out with. We're going to move beyond that tonight, but just starting out with how literal you can apply A Course in Miracles to bust your ego. How literal you can do this. All right. So let's see. Can we put a little meditation in on this? Let's do a little centering meditation to arrive at the meeting and get our mind off of Peru. Okay. And so maybe, what should we do? How should we do this?
Andrew.
Yeah.
This is Tim. What page are we working from?
448 in the text.
Got it. Thank you.
All right, everybody. So let's just take a quick time to meditate so we can make some progress. The thought that I would like to have you look into is to witness your seeing. That's what we're going to do together for the next few minutes, is we're going to witness our seeing with your eyeballs. Take a breath and call your body now to attention and let it go simple. You know, in other words, you're sitting or however you are, but the body now should be waiting for you. to serve you, whatever thought you might have, whatever you might have it to. The body should be waiting to serve you. If you have a pain that's coming up or something uncomfortable in your body, that too is just part of your body waiting, even with the pain, to serve you. It is always waiting to serve you. So feel your body waiting. Notice that your body, without your input, it has no agenda. Your body is not trying to do something else. Without your input, your body is waiting for you. Its heart is beating. Its lungs are drawing in air or pushing out air, blindly waiting for you. Your body's hair is growing. Cells are dividing. Even as I speak this very sentence, thousands of cells are dividing, other thousands are dying in this multi-trillion cell party called your body. All coordinating to be ready for you. Notice your still body that's just waiting for you. And if your eyes are not closed, close them just for a moment. Notice the darkness. Notice it's not actually perfectly dark. Notice that there are little micro lights, you'd have to call them. Kind of a screen. This is part of your body's function that is anticipating and waiting for you. And now with your eyes closed, I'm going to ask you in a moment to open your eyes, but then I want you to close them pretty much right away. So with your eyes closed, prepare to open your eyes. Don't open your eyes yet. Prepare to open your eyes. And when you do, I'd like you to let your vision go to a single item that you see. Look at it and then close your eyes again. And now open your eyes, find the item, and close your eyes. That's it. With your eyes closed now, see that item in your mind's eye. Notice how all the things around the item are fading and disappearing. And you can actually hold the item in your mind's eye now, independent of its surrounding. Look at that item. There it is, in your mind's eye. In your mind's eye, seemingly printed there with your eyeballs, And now, that item that you see in your mind's eye, put it on a silver platter, you know, a serving platter, shiny one, with handles, please. Thank you. There it is. Look at that platter. Oh, if you would please, on the bottom of the platter, put a little Made in China sticker. You know what I mean. Yeah, there you go. Silver platter with handles and your item on top of it. See that? Okay, now, please take a breath because I'm going to ask you to do something quite different. Now, I would like you to think of something that is not an object. Use your mind, apply your mind. I'll give you a minute to sort through this. I would like you to put your attention on something that is not an object. Go. Just to make sure you understand me, whatever it is you choose, it will not be visible to your body's eyes. Anything that's not an object, please. Tim, did you come up with something that's not an object?
Yes.
And what is that, please?
Let's see if you can. It's giving me trouble. It's a candle in a holder, a glass holder. Mm-hmm. That I lit for ambiance tonight. And it's kind of sitting right in front of me between two screens. And it goes away when I focus on it and try to label all of its parts and say, okay, which one is self-existent? None of them. They all dissolve under analysis. So do I, by the way. I go away. My body goes away. I mean, that sounds absurd. Of course it's here, right? What yeah. else do you know? But I've done that exercise many times where you just say, okay, you know, that's, you can think about it. And is it really there? No. Again, it goes away when you look at it patiently and with a goal in mind, like having it go away in your mind. Excuse me for my throat being hoarse.
Sure. Okay. Very good. So it seems like you came right down to the idea that even the candle was a concept, and the minute you stopped looking at it, the candle actually disappeared. Mm-hmm. By the way, let us know if you're ready to play the piano. You do a little recital for us at the end of the tonight. It would be nice.
I shall consider it.
That's good enough for me. Jacqueline, I think everybody came up. I know everybody was successful picking an item, and I don't need to know. I just wanted you to hold that in the beginning of the meditation, to pick the item and see the item, and then actually isolate the image is what you did. Then I asked you to put a whole new image underneath it, right? Everybody was successful doing that? Everybody? Not everybody's nodding their head. Ross, you were successful putting a platter under the, whatever you saw?
No, I just went really deep and didn't even hear your questions.
That's fine. You went into it. That's great. Okay. Then the real exercise, I knew you would be able to do the first part, no problem. The real exercise was for you to think of an object, think of something that's not an object. What I'm asking you to do is an exercise in differentiating subject and object. Of course, you are the subject. And when there's the item you saw with your eyeballs was obviously an object. And I had you pick it up and I had you isolate it, had you put a plate under it, a little Made in China sticker. I mean, you were able to use your mind to make an image. No problem. When I ask you to think of something that is not an object, there's a ton of them. Jacqueline, did you come up with something that's not an object?
Well, of course, I wasn't sure if it was, I mean, I thought of air that I was breathing. Okay. But it's sort of an object, you know, it was hard. And then I went to the qualities of love or, you know, the sense of love and light and those.
Well, slow down, girl. Let's start with the sense of love, for example. I mean, can we just stop on your list at that one? Whoa. You said you knew that the sense of love is not an object. It's invisible. But it's so important to you. This is what I'm after. So that's something invisible. And you can't actually put a color or a shape. You can't put a plate under that. Yet it is so important to you. Yet you have a sense of love. It's one of the things you own. Good, good, good. Luann, I got your mute. Would you tell us about something that you could come up with that's not an object?
Well, I thought of love also after I went through the sky.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, I want to find an instant of love. And it was the instant after I first read that letter and after my therapist told me I deserved it. And that instant felt so good again. And I almost feel like the other one is gone.
Great. Well, thank you. You're playing right into where I wanted to go with this. Thank you, Jacqueline, for getting us started. And thank you, Luann, for following up. Because the mind, Luann's mind, naturally, I think Jacqueline's mind too, if I pressed her on it, naturally went to an image of the sense of love. This might be why Ross
went
off into the ether.
That sense.
What?
The image of
I very well of it. I'm well aware of that. I just want to point out how natural it is for your mind, once you come up with a beautiful, beautiful thought, like the sense of love, OMG, right? But where did your mind go next? Well, let's go pick one. Let's go the letter. I'll bet you're not the only one. After we all heard your story, some of us might have all thought of your letter that your somewhat estranged brother wrote you a 3-page letter all of a sudden. Wow. Man, sure, sure. I just want to point out at this juncture that it's very, very natural then to go find an image to match your thought, to go find an object that could now represent the thought that actually has no object. Ross, what can you tell us about where you went? Oh, sorry, I should tell you.
You unmuted me. Well, what came up for me was just perfect communication and what kind of how that is to, I'll say, dwell on. Because it just feels like the, no barriers and just, you know, that's what, it's communion. It's just, there's just nothing to grab onto. And I think that's where you go with all this is just this, you know what, I'll just tell this metaphor that I came up with. It's like a bisque where you're like this spice in a bisque and, you know, it's just blending and stirring and there's really nothing to grab onto. But, you know, if you weren't in there as that perfect spice, then it wouldn't be the bisque. But you being there makes it complete, and yet it doesn't do anything. It just, you know, stirs in the pot. Mm-hmm. There is no pot for it. But
mm-hmm. And what's interesting about the spice in the bisque is that it affects everything.
Yes.
It's not a separate, alone. It was before it was added, perhaps, the original thought to say, I think I'll add some more cayenne pepper or whatever.
Yeah, you're getting the flavor of it, pun intended.
Yeah, good. Yeah, that's fascinating. Yeah, good.
There's no subject object anymore.
Good,
Ross. Together, it's communication, it's communion, yeah.
That's one of the benefits of this little meditation. And the meditation that I'm talking about now is think of something that is not an object. Mm-hmm. It's a way for you to instantly transport yourself away from the world, mm-hmm. to your mind. You're keeping your mind busy because it's a nice task for you. It's kind of like a mantra or another sort of memorized, you know, poetry line or something like that. But it's way more personal and it's way more, it will allow you to access a part of your mind that feels.
Yeah, you get lost in a thought. It's not even a thought. You get lost in a metaphor like that where it's just, you're just being.
So quickly, right?
Yeah.
Being. What do you got, Julie?
I'm probably jumping the line here, but that meditation was incredibly powerful. Because the instant that you said, think of something that's not an object, I think you just said the word teleported or transported, and that's accurate for me because I actually had like the experience preceded the actual thought or word to describe it. So I instantly felt this, there's not even words for it, but I eventually named it peace, but just kind of that constant calm that's just ever expansive of the holy instant. And so I had the experience of that without even having the words to associate with it.
Nice. That's what I'm talking about.
I felt like at the end, I didn't want to come out of the meditation. I thought, like class dismissed. Like that's, you know, the teaching was just very strong.
Good, good. Thank you. That was the goal. That was the goal. Deborah, tell us something about, did you come up with something that is not an object?
What I came up with was wisdom and had a very permeating feeling. Yeah. And then I thought, well, is that too Buddhist of a word?
No, no, it's perfect. Especially because you phrased it. You said it has a permeating feeling. So the feeling is what I'm focusing on now. So you chose wisdom. And Julie just said that she had the experience before she could come up with what she was experiencing. Before she could put holy instant or holiness around it, or she had this instant sense of peace and spaciousness occurred. She was transported. And wisdom. Everybody think about wisdom. Something with which you're so familiar. You are an expert. You are wise. You are wise in this area, whatever it is. Is your body starting to respond a little bit? Think about something that you are an expert in. You're very, very familiar with it. You don't need to read on how to do this. You do this really well. Think of something. Maybe it's even just speaking English when you're in a foreign country. No problem. I got it. What do you want to say? I can say it, right? That's knowledge, really. We're talking about wisdom. It goes even deeper. You would know the right thing to say, not just how to say it. With wisdom, you would have a sense of the proper, right thing to say. Wisdom knows the feeling that comes with it is high in what, Deborah? High in courage, high in confidence. What else?
Joy.
Joy. Are any of these things visible? No. You can feel them. They're powerful. Wouldn't those joy, courage, wisdom, confidence, wouldn't these be the kind of things that you actually want? Were you to say you could have anything? I don't think it's going to be the candle. It's going to be how the candle makes you feel. It's going to be, oh, I'd love to feel wise. And the joyfulness and the confidence that wisdom gives. Yeah, yeah. This is you what know, we're after here. What?
I do feel wise when I give up the idea that it's me.
Good, that's progress.
I feel wise when I get an answer and I know it's the right one, but I don't even know where it came from. I just know it. Some source gave it to me.
The sense from beyond. Yeah. Beyond that little body. Good, good, good. Donna, I got your mute. Could you tell us about what you came up with of when you were to think of something that's not an object?
Yes, because I just thought, I mean, the word, like it was an object at first because the word love came in, and so there was a brief sense of some kind of conceptualization, like something I could hold on to. But then when I, you know, in the same moment, just letting that go, and I was, in a sense, though, still observing, it was like this expansion started to happen, and there was this quality to it that was kind of like, it was like a glowing kind of, I can't explain it, but it just kept, I sort of checked myself in a way. I said, well, this just keeps something, it's like you're disappearing and it keeps on going kind of feeling.
That's the kind of thing I sense every time I do this meditation. And to remind you, the meditation prompt is, think of something that is not an object. That's it. Good, good, good. Feeling. First, an image tried to pop in and solidify it. And she said, no, that's too limiting. And she went to the transportation, to the openness. Good, good, good. Jason, I got your mute. Would you tell us what came into your mind?
Well, I wanted to say something. I noticed when you said to open your eyes, I closed my eyes and I opened them again and I saw more detail. I closed my eyes, I opened them again, then I saw more detail again of the object. I thought that was interesting.
That is, yeah.
And then when you said to think of something that's not an object, I thought of clouds, but then my mind came in and saying, oh, clouds is a concept. So the images that I had of clouds were those that I've experienced in the past. So I couldn't create any clouds right here in this moment. So I was kind of baffled by that.
Very well.
The experience of clouds was the past.
Very well.
Flying in the lines and seeing them.
Yeah, so you know, that's key to our investigation tonight, because the clouds are an object. But in your room, there are no clouds.
Then I went to air after that, but yeah.
But this is perfect, though, because what we're about to study, thank you, because naturally, the clouds seem vaporous, and you try to touch them, and you really can't. So in a way, but actually, it's an object. The water molecule, you can see the start, the edge of the cloud is visible, and the blue, and then it turns to white, and you got a cloud. But there's no clouds right in your room, there in your menu. So this was an image.
In the shower.
Yeah.
But
yeah, good, good, good. So that's a nice interplay on that. And then Cecilia, I've got your mute turned off. Can you tell us? Of course, we'd like to see you if you're there.
Yeah, I'm right here. Yeah, hi. The image that came to me was the wind. Not an image, but the concept.
Yes.
And I think I thought of that because it's always really calming, my experience of the wind, because it's coming and it's going, but it's ever present.
Mm-hmm.
So that was soothing for me.
Good, good, good. So it is linked to a feeling. If there was an actual wind that blew your door open, you might have had to go close the door. But now in your mind, you brought up the idea of wind. And a feeling and a sense of calm, because you like the wind, was evoked.
Mm-hmm.
Good, good. So how powerful. Okay, everybody. Turn now to, in the workbook, to page 87. 87 in the workbook. And just look at that paragraph 5. And Tim, when you get there, would you read for us that paragraph 5?
Yes, I will. Looking for 87, and there it is. And which piece did you want me to read?
The last paragraph. My thoughts are images that I have made.
I love this one. because it empowers me to choose once again. and miracles instead of what I was picking. My thoughts are images that I have made. Whatever I see reflects my thoughts. It is my thoughts that tell me where I am and what I am. The fact that I see a world in which there is suffering and loss and death shows me that I am seeing only the representation of my insane thoughts, and I am not allowing my real thoughts to cast their beneficent light on what I see. Yet God's way is sure. The images I have made cannot prevail against him because it is not my will that they do so. My will is his, and I will place no other gods before him.
Good, good, good. Thank you. So I want to call your attention to a few things in this lesson. Obviously, sentence one is what we're talking about tonight. But look at sentence four. The fact that I see a world in which there is suffering and loss and death. Suffering, loss, and then the big one that we don't think about. Suffering and loss we think about a lot. But every once in a while, the death one comes in. Potent part of the dream. The Course in Miracles, it says, you know, there actually is no death. You know, it says that many times. But it says, why bother focusing on something that your mind really can't accept? And it goes back to the lesson. Let's talk about suffering, loss, and anger and attack some more. You can deal with those things a lot more comfortably than that there is no death. Now, the fact that I see a world in which there is suffering and loss and death shows me, proves to me, that I am seeing only the representation of my insane thoughts. Insane, not applying the truth. Insane, actually applying false premises and pretending they're true. This is insane. And I'm not allowing my real thoughts to cast their beneficent light on what I see. Course in Miracles here is giving you the command. Call your attention that you have real thoughts. Everything you see, especially if there's any loss involved, these are unreal or untrue or lies. You're lying to yourself. You're lying to yourself like an addict when you are perceiving loss of any type. This is really good news. It's kind of strange to say when your body's eyes and ears and the pain you feel from your sciatica or whatever, but these things have suffering attached to them that's very graphic in your life. Sure, I get it. But you know, when I asked you to have a thought of something that's not an object, you were transported away from the ability to suffer from any object. It shows the power of your mind that you will use more and more as you learn to let go of your body as being the master. So you do have real thoughts, and this is the thoughts you would hold, that your mind would hold with God, thoughts you think with God. You do have real thoughts that are being denied, that are being blocked by your eyeballs and by your ego's analysis of what you think and what you see. You have real thoughts, but you're denying them. The Course assumes that you accept that you know this. So I'm just making sure. I think everybody here knows that. And Deborah described it nicely with wisdom. Everybody knows that you have thoughts that are worth thinking. And you have thoughts that are not worth holding on to. With vigilance, we will bust the ego, and you will learn not to follow the dark thoughts and to definitely follow the thoughts of love, where Luann was juggling those two possibilities. Definitely go with the loving thought. What more do you want?
No, it's funny because that's what I did. And as soon as I did it, I realized I couldn't think the second one.
Good.
I couldn't think anymore about it. It just wasn't real at all.
That's what I say. Try it. You'll like it. If it doesn't work, your misery will be instantly refunded. Really? Yeah. Use your mind to go up. Use your mind to go for the light. And then you're going to have light. Try it. Try it in the darkest situation you get into. It's even more impressive. Use your mind to look for darkness. You will find darkness because of what you are. You can make as much darkness as you can handle and even a little more, turns out. You will not be denied any use of your mind, folks. No way, no how, not ever. All we're doing now, Jesus has written this book to remind you of the light so you can choose again for your own will, for what you actually want, which I've reminded everybody. What you actually want, it's not what you actually do most of the time. We're slaves and habits to the demands of the body, to the images we think are real, to the problems we think are real, to the problems we think limit us. And we seem to respond to that. But even when you respond to that, even if you have to go to court with a lawyer to respond to that, you don't have to do it with hate in your heart. You can do it with a sense of love that Jacqueline brought up. She says, you know what came to my mind? She says, a sense of love, she said. Carry that with you as you go to court, as you deal with the lawyer, as you deal with the car wreck, as you deal with the doctor, et cetera, et cetera. There is no reason you can't, and that's what we're here to learn. Must learn to, it, you can awaken that part of your mind and use it all the time. That's why we're studying A Course in Miracles, to have a miracle, a shift in perception about how we're actually going to live our day. Let's do it. Okay, so that was my message there. You know, let's look at the same paragraph now. Before we turn the page, or before we go on, let's look at the last sentence in this wonderful lesson. My will is God's. I hope by now you're seeing this big circle that gets drawn. A Course in Miracles is very gently trying to tell you you're not separate from God. You seem to think that way, and you do a lot of things to deny happiness and deny the attributes of God. You seem to do that a lot, so it kind of proves to you that you're not loving, you're not surrounded by love, or you're not sharing the will of God. It seems to be that way. Seems, Jacqueline. It seems to be that way because this is your habitual thoughts. Just habitual, that's all. They're not more powerful because you think of them every day. They're not more true because you think of them every day.
Andrew, could you say specifically in this instance what you're talking about with the circle?
Yes. In this instance, the circle is that as you give,
you shall receive.
That you receive. But you only received as you gave. But then as you gave, you received. And so will is one of those things that is the Course is trying to point out a truth to you, that your will, and it makes a wonderful distinction between two words, will and wish. The ego wishes. A wish is something that you think of that may or may not happen. And you would like it if it happened, and you're dreaming about how good it would be if it happened. Will, it's already done before it's done. You know what I'm talking about? When you will to take out the trash, you know what happens? Even though it's late, even you have to go put on your slippers, you have to get a light, but you take a trash out to the curb before the trash truck comes tomorrow, because you don't want to have trash for a full week sitting in your kitchen, right? You're not wishing to take the trash out, are you? No, you're actually going to go grab that trash can, grab that bag or whatever, go out, do it, right? See what happens in your mind when you decide, I'm going to do it. Even though I'm going to do it in a half an hour, but it's actually done. It's already done. This is what will is. This is not wish. This is the resolute nature of you, your ability to choose. So, A Course in Miracles is calling out will in this last sentence, that God's will, remember, will is not a wish. Will means that it's done the instant it's conceived of. It's actually done in all the ways that matter the most. The execution is just details of which hand do you use to carry the trash can, right or left? Do you go out the front door or the back door or through the garage? None of that matters. The will was, you're taking the trash out tonight before the trash truck comes, no matter what. If you fall asleep without taking the trash, guess what? You're going to go, oh, yeah. If you willed it, you're going to get back up and go take the trash out. Jason?
Well, I was just thinking, I'm getting a sense of the power of will, just listening to your analogy. And a thought came up, wow, I'm kind of afraid of all that power.
Bravo! Bravo! That means you respect it. You respect it. That's good, Jason, because that power is waiting for you when you decide you want to wield it. It's waiting. It will never
act on you. Not the big will. It's not the little one you and I are talking about, the garbage, but I mean...
Yes.
I'm thinking the bigger scale.
Good. Bravo. Bravo. Because as you get more comfortable with what the will of God is for you, because I got a little afraid of it going on, that means you respect the power that is there, that made the heart that beats that you don't even beat. For example, oh, what made that? Whoa. That made the sense of love, that made you capable of experiencing the sense of love without you designing and forcing it. That allows you to laugh. Laughter takes over that power that you did not make. Good. I hope you maintain that respect, because it will make you so very happy to understand that it is your will. It is not a will outside of you. It is your will. So God's will and your will, turns out, they are exactly the same, because you are an extension of God. You are that. He says, I am that, right? Nisargadatta. That. What? That feeling of joy, that feeling of love, that feeling of love, that solidity of love, that transportation when you feel it. This is a manifestation of what you are. It's not you getting something. Okay? So thank you, Julie. So God's will is that you be is such a small word, but it has such a big meaning. You hear what I'm saying? When I say be, when I say, it's a small word, it's only two letters. But be is being. God's will is that you be joyful. That you be perfectly happy. Not get happy, not experience happy. So I think you want the same thing. I think the truth is you want the same thing. Busy denying it because you're so busy with what your eyeballs see and your memory thinks you need to do tomorrow or today or whatever. Judging and giving you priorities over that wonderful transportation sense that Julie described. What priority is higher than that? Really? Especially since I'm reminding you, there's nothing you can't do without holding the sense of peace, even as you do it. So, ask again, Ross, if it's not clear. My will and God's will.
Yeah, I understand it when it comes to giving and receiving, you know, that I see the circle there, but I still didn't see the circle in, okay, so my will is his. So, okay, my will is his. That's the circle. That's what you're talking about right there.
Yes.
And his will and my will are one. And for him to will something is, I lost it.
and his will and my will are one. Therefore, when I think thoughts that I would think with God, thoughts of unity, thoughts of joy, thoughts of peace, thoughts of understanding, thoughts of celebration, these thoughts don't come from God. They come from me. From God. Because it's willed. It's willed. That means it's already done. And if you don't see it, it's because you're denying it.
I guess what comes up for me is the desire to keep the holy instant is what's preventing you from staying in the holy instant. And the desire to attain something is what prevents you from realizing you already have it.
Good.
So those things, when you, and other teachers talk about letting go, when you let go of actually desiring what you already are, then you realize you already have it.
Yes, yes, yes.
So there's a circle.
Yes, 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 yes. Good, good. That's right. You get what you think. But the problem is, when you start to think about what you think, it goes into the past. And that's the I got it, I lost it syndrome.
Yeah.
It's not present. So look at Miracle Principle 13 real quick, just to illustrate your point. It's right in the front of the book. It's on page. We can drop this page. Way in the front of the book, page 4. It has a little clue on the nature of a miracle-minded awareness, like what we're talking about tonight. When you think of something that is not an object, your mind has to go into the presence. It has to become present. Because we're not going to see anymore. We're not going to use the eyes to witness. We use something else. Presence. Number 13, top of the page. Miracles are both beginnings and endings. And so they alter the temporal order, time order. they're always affirmations of rebirth. So each of you, when I ask you to think of something that's not an object, you're kind of reborn. You are reborn because you're being called out of your busy world of sight and sound and objects that have names and meaning, specifically names and meanings. I'm calling you away from all of that. And you're reborn. You're brought back into your present moment to use your mind to create, to recognize the power of mind. So there are affirmations of rebirth, which seems to go back because it seems to pick up something familiar, but they really go forward because you only actually live, or in this case, go forward, right? Live in the present moment. They undo the past, letting go of all objects in the present moment, and thus release the future from being a repeat of the past. In other words, it's a much better way to live. Good, good, good. Okay. So, turn to page 275 in the text. And this is more responsibility of sight. 275 in the text, front of the book. Look at paragraph 6. And Jacqueline, I got your mute. When you get there, would you read for us paragraph 6?
Okay. No penalty is ever asked of God's Son except by himself and of himself. Every chance given him to heal is another opportunity to replace darkness with light and fear with love. If he refuses it, he binds himself to darkness because he did not choose to free his brother and enter light with him. By giving power to nothing, he throws away the joyous opportunity to learn that nothing has no power. And by not dispelling darkness, he became afraid of darkness and of light. The joy of learning that darkness has no power over the Son of God is the happy lesson the Holy Spirit teaches and would have you teach with him. It is his joy to teach it as it will be yours.
Beautiful. Thank you. There's a bunch in this paragraph, but boy, what Jason said just popped out as she was reading. So let's start with that. Look at sentence 6. And Jason, are you actually there?
Yeah, just a second. I went to the restroom.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm back now.
Okay, very good.
What now?
So page 275.
Okay.
Paragraph 6. And in particular, look at sentence 6.
666.
Yeah. The joy of learning.
Learning, yes.
That darkness has no power. Darkness has no power over the Son of God is the happy lesson the Holy Spirit teaches. The joy of learning that darkness has no power over the Son of God, in all caps, is the happy lesson the Holy Spirit teaches and would have you teach with him. This is actually a metaphysical sentence that I would guess wouldn't mean a lot to you the first few times through A Course in Miracles. But about the sixth or seventh time through, this will shake your roots and say, what am I doing? What permission am I getting? What freedom of thought, what freedom of being is Am I getting permission to experience? When you read a sentence that says, the joy of learning that darkness has no power over the Son of God is the happy lesson the Holy Spirit teaches. Like I say, you could go right past the sentence, no problem. But when you start to recognize your responsibility of sight, that what you think comes true as soon as you think it, to some extent. What you think comes true the moment you think it, to some extent. Thoughts are things. Immediately. Even if your eyes are closed and you're worrying about something that hasn't happened yet. It's about tomorrow's dentist appointment when they said, well, we're going to have to take that tooth out. And the day has come and it's tomorrow. And you got an appointment and they're going to go in there and grab some pliers and take out one of your teeth or use a drill and you're worrying about it, let's say. That's happening immediately, and it's kind of a dark thought, isn't it? It's a darkness that you'll be uncomfortable. You have to smell your own tooth getting ground, or there'll be blood, or who knows, you know, whatever this thing that you're concerned about tomorrow, you're worrying. Even if it's something like that, obviously, this darkness is the power of your mind, and you are now subjugating yourself. You're enslaving yourself to darkness. You do it all the time. You have to bust your ego each time this happens and remind yourself, this is not your will. This is your wish. What's your wish? To be sad. What's your wish? To be worried. What's your wish? To think that you're vulnerable. What's your wish? To think that you could lose something. That is your wish. It is not your will. The happy lesson that Course in Miracles is teaching, that there is a will that you share with God. God just means truth. That mysterious power that Jason admitted he was afraid of a minute ago, that is behind everything. It's all the power there is. And it could actually be an overwhelming sense of joining, where your own little division becomes meaningless. The division you've been caring for so carefully. He says, he admitted it. He says, that's a little scary. The lesson is that darkness has no power over what you actually are. When it has capital letters, you would know of which that speaks as you awaken, as you allow the truth to be true for you. This is when you return to Christ mind. And the lesson Course in Miracles has to teach you, and Jason put his finger right on it, there is nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. So each time you do feel fear, that's a great time for a miracle. That's a great time to stop, ask your Holy Spirit to weigh in at that moment with that particular subject. Take responsibility for what you're seeing with your mind or with your eyes. Oh my God, we ran right over. Oh. We have so much important things to cover here, but we're getting through it carefully, and you guys are bringing up really good points as you go along. So we're going to come right back to the exact same paragraph next week. We'll have more essays. This is a metaphysical teaching point of A Course in Miracles at many, many levels. And so we're going to look at several of those levels together so that this is more useful to you. Through the years that you study this book, you can come back to this very same page and you'll see more, hopefully, because we all spent time on it. This really is a gift, this particular page. It's a multi-level gift. That's with you and going to be with you for the rest of your life. So that's why we're spending so much time on it. Okay. Okay, everybody. Good night. That's the end of our session. And thank you for studying A Course in Miracles with me.
Didn't you say you were going to show us more of your Peruvian pictures?
Yeah, yeah. If anybody wants to stay, I'll show you some, I'll show you another 10 minutes of Peru pictures, but just 10 minutes.
Hey, that's just a good time.
Good night.
Bye, everyone.